Jesus has a vision for our life. It is upside down from what we can do on our own strength. He calls it the kingdom of God. He says it's when God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven, meaning little tastes of the power, the goodness, the completeness, the wholeness of heaven clash with the status quo of life on our own. And it gets turned upside down in redemption, in being made new, in stepping into the fullness of what God wants more and more. So the series, Life in the Kingdom, what does it look like? What kind of life is possible with Jesus? And so we're looking at Matthew chapter 5 as he's laying out this vision. It's often called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. And he's challenging us as disciples, which means a student, a learner, an apprentice. What is that next step of growth? We want to ask those questions. God, what are you saying to me? And what do you want me to do about it? And if we walk through life with that mindset, we will more and more turn and grab hold of what God has for us, the tastes of heaven that are possible. So we're moving on today into the 7th of 8, what are often called Beatitudes, blessings, where Jesus pronounces blessings saying, hey, this is the good life. This is the life you've been looking for, the blessed life, the happy life that you long for. First of all, it's good. Long for a good life, and I'm the only one you can find it in. And that's his pronouncements here. 8 things. I want to jump right into them, and we'll pick it up where we left off. Seeing the crowds in verse 1, it says, he went up on the mountain. He sat down. His disciples came to him. He opened his mouth, and he taught them about the kingdom of God, which is what we see in, says in chapter 4, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You don't have it all together, that unlocks the power of heaven in your life. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You need healing, God's a healer of hearts. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. You allow God to, you submit and surrender your will to God and let him use you in a way that you never even knew was possible. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be satisfied. He wants to wrap us in that robe of righteousness so that we are pure, blameless, spotless before God. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy, as we looked at last week. He wants to so transform us with the radical mercy that he gives us that we don't deserve, that it would make us a mercy-first, not judgment-first people. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So much often just clutter in our lives that keep us from truly loving God alone. And God invites us to allow those things to be purified so that we can truly see him and experience him more and more with the eyes of our heart, if you will. And then moving on to today, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons or children. It's a masculine, Greek is a masculine language, so it's like Spanish where it's, this means children. It says sons, but it's the plural for kids. They shall be called children of God, sons of God, daughters of God. So it seems pretty straightforward, but there's a very important word here that I want to kind of dissect, and it's actually a two-part word, peacemakers. We did a whole series on this very, very important concept in the Jewish life, shalom. That's the word that gets translated peace, but it means so much more. I would encourage you, if that's a new idea, to scroll back through our podcast archives and find the series on shalom. It's an incredibly powerful word and concept that means more than peace. It does mean peace, but it has to do with wholeness, completeness, when everything in life is made right. One of the beautiful things about that series is it showed, Jesus showed that there's, in God's mindset, in God's framework for what is a candidate for redemption, if you will. What aspects of life matter to God? We saw Jesus demonstrate a heart that says that there is nothing in life outside of what God wants to touch, to redeem, to heal, to make whole and complete. That is incredible news. If it matters to us, it matters to God. That doesn't always mean that what we think we need, God says, yes, we need. But if it matters to us, it matters to God. Every aspect of life is part of what God wants to heal, redeem, make whole, make complete. And that's really, really good news. That we don't have to wait until heaven when we die to finally be like, oh, man, thank you, God. Because, man, on earth, I just feel like you didn't really care about that. That's not what Jesus models for us. Everything in life, our heart, our mind, our body, our relationship with God, our relationship with others, all of it is part of God's shalom, his peace that he wants to bring. And this word right here, when Jesus says, be a peacemaker, blessed are the peacemakers. There's a second word. That word maker has to do with doing, has to do with action. So Jesus is saying when God's will is done on earth, his people are doers of peace, makers of peace, like their heavenly Father. And scholars note that in this context, a peacemaker is someone who the emphasis is going to be on restores people to right relationship with one another. The only other place in the New Testament where this word stem of this two-part, peace and maker, are put together gives us a hint about the way in which this is about the reconciling of relationships. I believe it does include shalom in its wholeness. It has to do with every aspect of life, and so God calls us to be releasers of that wholeness, that completeness. But in this word construction, there's a nuance to it that has to do with reconciled relationships. And I want to take us there. It not only shows it from kind of the word usage, but the heart of God. So in Colossians chapter 1, the only other place where this word stem is used, it says this, 19 and 20. God was pleased. Just think about that. Do you think of God as happy, as pleased, as having pleasure? God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, being Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace. There's the word, making peace, peacemaker, peace doer, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So this verse is talking about the most fundamental aspect of that peace, the shalom that we need is to have peace with God. Are you right with God? Have you been reconciled to God? Reconciliation, note in this passage, and peace are synonyms. They're parallels. Watch. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace. God is the peacemaker. He is the one who makes reconciliation of relationship. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in order to reconcile, to bring peace, to make peace. What I want us to see here, and because then it gets to the parallel to our life, is this is just a massive, important point. This is God's idea. God was pleased. God seeks it out. God doesn't wait for you to come to him. God is the active agent of bringing peace to the world through his initiative. It's his action to extend peace, to bring reconciliation of relationships. It's so important for us, both on the level of, do you really believe that that's how God is, or is God up there mad? Is God up there ready to throw out a lightning bolt? Is he up there ready to judge? Or is it he the one who so loved the world that initiates the reconciliation? He's so pleased. It makes him happy to pour his fullness in the second person of the Trinity and then incarnate, come into this world as a beloved son so he could reconcile, so he could make peace. He's the peacemaker. It's his idea. He does it. He takes the initiative. First of all, that's an incredible piece of God's heart. Second of all, Jesus says, be like your Father in heaven. be the initiator of peace. Be the agents of reconciliation that renews this world to the will of God. It flips upside down the status quo of our world. One of the age-old problems of humanity. We're not only separated from God, we're separated from one another. The very beginning of the Bible tells the story about the first humans, representing the beginning of humanity. God's design is that humans live in peace with one another. Not just peace, meaning like the absence of conflict, but a shalom, a wholeness, a completeness. As it said very early on in the Word, the man and the woman, the man and his wife, Genesis 2:25, were both naked and they felt no shame. Naked without shame. They had nothing to hide, nothing to fear from one another. This is symbolic. The nakedness is every Old Testament scholar agrees this nakedness here is not just a physical description. It is a symbol. They have become one. There is a trust together. And it's not just for marriage. It's a symbol of humanity is made for wholeness, completeness, togetherness in their relationships, a peace between them. So close, it says, the two have become one. So trusting, so open. Two can be described as one. But as the story goes, as you all know, as soon as they decided not to follow God in his good life, in the vision he set out for them, what happened? Genesis 3:7. They realized they were naked. See the symbolic power of that? They realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings. Coverings. The peace had been lost. The oneness that they shared had become broken, fractured. Trust had been lost. Fear was birthed. The need to protect themselves from one another, to cover themselves. Because suddenly this other is scary, is fearful, is a threat in some way. So a strong sense of the other set in. You're different from me. You're a threat. I got to hide myself from you. I got to protect myself from you. I got to close myself off. Represented in that covering, that need for a covering of fig leaves. And as God was describing the ramifications of their choice to live outside of God's good plan, it says that there will be hostility between you and the woman. He's talking to the serpent, but that word hostility is so key. Because it is absolutely true that at that moment, a trajectory began in humanity of hostility in relationships between one another. Instead of trusting each other, there is fear. Instead of being open with one another, there's hiding. Instead of being close, so close, it can be called one, there's now this estrangedness. There's walls that are built for protection. This other person is scary. The peace he designed us for is broken. And humanity is plagued with this deep sense of aloneness, hostility, fear of one another. And I believe if we're honest with ourselves, we can see it. We can see it in ourselves. We can see it in our fears of relationships. We can see it how hard it is to have true intimacy, true closeness, true trust with one another, let alone people that are far away. It's so easy, as we talked last week, to judge, to keep people at a distance, to feel far away, to feel threatened, to feel scared. In Jesus, this is the good news. That's the problem. The good news in Jesus, the will of God, God is bringing his kingdom to bear on the brokenness of this earth, and the will of God expressed in Jesus is the reconciliation of those relationships. Not only with God, but with one another. So much that he died on the cross for that. I want to ask you a question. Why did Jesus die on the cross? And you don't need to answer, but I want you to think, does any part of your answer include so that I could be one with the person sitting next to me? so that I can be reconciled to my brother or sister? Think about it. Does it? Does that is that included in part of what Jesus died for? Watch. And what we're going to see is the relationships that we have with one another here and out there, right here, matter incredibly to God. Ephesians chapter 2 says this: Jesus is our peace, verse 14 and 16. In his flesh, in his body, he has made both groups into one. He's talking about Jews and Gentiles, in this case, a racial group that has been at odds, in hostility, as long as they can remember. He has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility, important word, exactly the word in Genesis it was described. The hostility between us. He abolished the law with his commandments and its ordinances that he might create in himself, watch this, one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace. There's the word. That he might reconcile, again, they're parallel, both groups to God, first and foremost, in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So why did Jesus die on the cross? That he might reconcile both groups to God through the cross. Good. But that's not all. Salvation is not just between you and God after you die. In his flesh, in his body, what he did on the cross, it says, he made both groups into one. Breaking down the dividing wall, the hostility that's between us, that he might create in himself one new humanity instead of two, thus making peace. The age-old problem of hostility between humanity matters so much to God, it's part of what Jesus died on the cross for. The shalom, the peace that Jesus came to bring and call us to be agents of, includes the breaking down the walls of hostility that separate humanity from one another. Jesus died on the cross in part to break the power of hostility towards one another and renew the oneness that humanity is made for. Break down the dividing wall that he might create a one new humanity, making peace. Are you a peacemaker? It's a question for today. Do you actively pursue reconciliation between people? If you think that was too much to ask, you think it's upside down from this world's standards, I want to place this for a moment in the context of the listener who would have heard this for the first time from Jesus. As Jesus says, blessed, happy are the peacemakers, the shalom makers, those who seek and actively pursue reconciling people together. Jesus is speaking to a group of folks whose land and lives were currently occupied by the oppressive hand of the Roman Empire. There was a swelling in the people going on. We've had enough. There was a rise of what they called zealots, religious people, watch this, who called themselves sons of God and had decided enough is enough and it's time to take up arms and through violent conflict overthrow the Romans and get the land back. And they are good sons of God for doing that. And Jesus, imagine what's going on through their minds when Jesus comes along and says, to be sons of God, to reflect like your heavenly, to reflect the heart of God like your heavenly Father, who do God's will on earth. God isn't coming in violence. He isn't coming in judgment, as we saw last week. He isn't giving people what they deserve. He's coming as an agent of reconciliation, a peacemaker, a doer of peace, a doer of undeserved goodness. So go be true sons of God like your Father and make peace. Do peace. Be a reconciler of relationships through undeserved goodness, through mercy. Wow. I mean, sometimes I think in our life, we're like, you know, Jesus says, make peace. And you're like, well, come on, Jesus. You don't know who I have to deal with. You don't know the people in my life. Jesus even had a zealot as one of the people he chose for his disciples. There's multiple times in which the people try to make him the political king. And there's just this swelling of angst after these years of oppression from the Roman Empire. They're under occupation. And Jesus says, go be reconcilers of people. Show mercy. Show the undeserved goodness, the love of God, and call people into reconciliation. Wow. That just humbles our heart, my heart. He's like, my life is not currently, depending on your political persuasion, but under the oppressive military occupation of that literally could kill me at any moment. And Jesus says, be a peacemaker. We got to wrestle with, even in that first century context, are you kidding me, Jesus? Have you seen how they treat me? And this is where Jesus is saying the upside down way. This is the upside down way of the kingdom. Talk about turning expectations upside down. This is the heart of God. What is God doing in the world? He isn't coming in judgment. He is coming in mercy. And so as you get filled with that, go reconcile, be a peacemaker through undeserved goodness. So bring that into our life. How? How can we be peacemakers? Do we release peace into the situations where we go? In our actions, in our attitudes, in our mindset, in our expectations? Do we walk into situations of life and have the framework? I'm here to release peace. I'm here to reconcile as a reflection of my Father. That's what Jesus is inviting us. Be like your dad. Kids, you know, kids are like your dad. That's what Jesus is getting at. Reflect the heart of your Father. So when people see you, they see your Father. They see a reflection of the heart of God through you. How on earth can we do this? Like I said, I don't want to take anything away from our life. It may be hard now, crazy. I don't even understand how to apply it in their context. But that doesn't take away from the fact that Jesus is crazy right now. Because have you seen the people that I got to deal with? How do I walk through life with a happy, blessed mindset that I get to release peace wherever I go? I get to be a peacemaker. I get to be a reconciler of people back into that right relationship with one another of love and trust and closeness, openness. And this is where I think the order of the Beatitudes is massively important. Being a peacemaker is not something I believe we're called to muster up on our own strength, be good enough at it. I believe like the entire Sermon on the Mount, it's once again an invitation to experience first and foremost more and more of the heart of the Father so we can walk into our destiny of being like our Father in heaven, which we're going to see Jesus say over and over in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. So watch. If we just see where the Beatitudes go, blessed are the poor in spirit. So start just saying, I have nothing to offer God. I can't produce the fruit that I want in my own life. that I need, that I crave, that I hunger for, that I know I'm made for. I can't do it. And God says, that's exactly what I need from you. Let me do it. Unlocks the power of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, those who are willing to be honest and say, God, my heart hurts about some things. And God says, I'm the healer of hearts. Let me heal. Blessed are the meek, those who would say, I want to be used by you in this world, God. I can't, I know I have a destiny. I know I got gifts. I know I got passions, but I can't fulfill it. God says, amen. Like the horse, let me direct your path so you can go faster and farther than you ever could on your own. And we get into the blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. And as we've seen the last couple weeks, this is meant to transform us. That as we taste of the Lord's mercy and soak deep in the reality that God doesn't give us what we deserve, but instead wraps us in that robe of righteousness, calls us beloved children of God, without blemish, holy, without accusation, can't even be accused anymore. And as we pursue the purity of our hearts and that clutter, that junk, that stuff that we put as an idol above him, as we more and more rid that and we can see God and see his heart, as those things take place, what's going to happen? We will be transformed to reflect our Father. That is our destiny. That's what Jesus invites us into. He's going to say it later. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. What? What is that? That's an invitation to soak in the reality of who you are in God's eyes and what God wants to do in you and how God wants to heal and transform and empower you. So it's not, oh, I'm going to muster up and be perfect. It's, I'm going to soak in what God wants to do and let him do his stuff. And what happens? The byproduct, I get transformed. And I get to go release what God has done in me. I get to share with the world. And what's going to happen is people are going to say, whoa, those look like children of God. The way they release peace, the way they reconcile relationships among themselves and helping others. They release to break down walls of hostility, bring people together into the wholeness of oneness. Why? How do you get that power? Because that's what God has done with me. And so what God is doing in me, and I just get to release it. I get to share it. So it doesn't become this thing of I got to work and muster it up. It's, no, I just got to get more on my knees and soak in the reality of who God is and how he feels about me, what he wants to do in me as my identity in him. And as that hits deep, like some of you guys just came last week to say, I want to soak in the mercy of God. And Jesus says, the result is that's going to make you merciful. It's going to take that edge off. I want to judge where you don't even want to feel that anymore. You don't even feel it. You feel mercy first because you know how God has treated you. Same thing with peace, bringing relationships together. Oh, they don't deserve it. If you knew what they did in my life, same exact thing. Jesus said, no. Same way, God doesn't treat us how we deserve. When we can soak in the reality of how God treats us, how he went, he is the initiator. He's the active agent. It's his idea. He pursues us first while we're running from him, or we're saying, forget you, God, or we're doing our own thing, while we've rejected him, he's the one pursuing us to draw us into relationship. Not treat us as we deserve, but forgive us and call us beloved children and draw us back, break down hostility, draw us back into oneness. So this is what you're made for. And as that becomes real, that God's done that in you, release it. And as the world sees, whoa, man, they look a lot like the Heavenly Father and his heart. And that's what it's meant to be. God's crazy how he gives us the responsibility. I shouldn't say God's crazy. It's crazy how, I think it's crazy how God has chosen to so call a people that don't have it together and are broken and say, I want you to cause people to think of God. I want you to act in a way that people say, I think I saw the face of God. Don't try to muster that up. Get on your knees and soak in the reality of who God is and who you are in God's eyes. So you're transformed and it flows out of you. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called sons of God, children of God, daughters of God. And blessing, that's a much better way than judgment. It feels much better than to walk into a situation and know, wow, you know what? I just brought a lot of hostility. I just caused fracture in relationships. I just caused separation in relationships, which we've all done. How much more blessed is it, Jesus, thank you, that your destiny is that as I get transformed in you, I get to be someone who more and more you will use me, and as you flow through me, whoa, I just got to be a peacemaker. Whoa, I just released peace. Whoa, I just helped people come together. I just helped forgiveness to happen. I just helped oneness to happen. I just helped walls to get broken down, whatever kind they are. That's a blessing, Lord. Thank you that I get to be a part of that. Continue to do the work in me so they can, of who you are, of who I am in your eyes and what you're doing, so they can just flow out of my heart. You guys got it? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just we want to bless you, Lord, today. We want to thank you again for another piece of the destiny and the privilege that comes with being your beloved children. And I pray, Lord, once again, that you would help make us a people that learn to soak in the reality of who you are. As your word says in 2 Corinthians, Lord, as we see you face to face, we get transformed from one degree of glory to another, it says, from one little bit like you to the next little bit like you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that today you would help continue to make us a people that learn how to sit and soak long enough in who you are and what you've really done for us and what you really are doing for us as your beloved children. Help us be a people that sit long enough there that it transforms our very nature. Thank you, Lord. This is your invitation, Lord. It's a good one. We want to be agents of peace, God. So, Lord Jesus, I pray again today for more revelation for hearts. Revelation of who you are, of what you've done, of who we are in your eyes, Lord.
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at weareelevation and on Facebook at facebook.com/weareelevation.